Life's a game. The world's a stage, and we are merely role players, where theatrical people play role-playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I'm your compere. This week, we interrupt your regularly scheduled programming to bring you Fanfic Mishmash, our live show from Dragonmeet 2023. So, please take your seats in the Dragonmeet podcast zone. Tonight's performance is about to begin. Welcome everybody to Dragonmeet. Thank you very much for coming to the convention. Thank you very much for coming to this live show, the first one of the day for the podcast zone. Thank you very much to Dragonmeet for having us, and thank you very much to Fiona and Mira of the podcast zone for making all of this happen. And a little thanks to Electro Voice for sponsoring the podcast zone as well. We are merely role players. We are a podcast where theatrical people play role-playing games. We improvise stories to entertain you and to entertain ourselves, mostly. Give us a cheer if you've never listened to merely role players before.
Woo! Woo!
See, we love to make new friends. That's what we're here for. Stop alienating the audience.
I mean, can I get too early? Sorry.
Today, to entertain you and to entertain ourselves, we're going to be playing a role-playing game called Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined by Riley Hopkins. This is a role-playing game inspired by fan fiction and by the Kingdom Hearts video game series. It's powered by the apocalypse. So can I also get a cheer from the audience if you've ever read any fan fiction?
Yes. Yeah.
Can I get a cheer? Can I get a cheer if you've ever written any fan fiction?
He writes it. He doesn't read it.
The supply and the demand. We're going to improvise some brand new fan fiction for you in the room today using this role-playing game. My name is Matt. I am your compere. These are our lovely cast, our lovely players. Can you introduce yourselves going down the line this way, and who you're playing and what playbook you're using, please?
Hi, I'm Nat. I use she, her pronouns. I will be playing Jemima Puddle Duck, well known from the Beatrix Potter stories. I'm using the discarded playbook.
Oh.
I know, right? It's a tragic tale.
Hi, I'm Strat, he, him. I am playing Tom Thumb from, news to me, Arthurian legend. Who knew? Ooh. I thought fairy tale, but no. Knight of Arthur, size of a thumb. And perhaps appropriately, I'm playing the Knucklehead. Again, just realised how nice that fits. So, that's lovely.
Hi, my name's Alex. He, him. I'm playing Morgana Le Fay of Arthurian legend, and I'm using the Dark playbook.
And that's it.
It is Panto season.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No!
There it is.
The Panto's later. Yeah. There is one happening. You'll have noticed these are all characters from older works of literature and legend. We are keeping things public domain today so that Dragonmeet does not get in trouble. And with that, I think we're going to raise the curtain on this story, if everybody's ready. Teeth. Hundreds of teeth. Gnash. Biting into brittle flesh, crumbling soft innards. As the coffee machine is switched on for the first time of the day at the coffee shop Hey You,
Which of our main characters is behind the bar working the coffee machine to fix the very first order of the day here at the coffee shop?
Can I be, please?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Job done. Don't need to roll for it. Winning already. You see a woman, long, dark hair, dressed in a sort of gothy sort of fashion, lots of crushed velvet, operating the machinery, sometimes as if by magic.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's just making sure that the grind settings are all correct and that the espresso's dialed in. Can you tell I worked at Cafe Nero once? she's just, like, making sure everything is all set up. You've got the cups there, everything's just ready, all the syrups are done so that when the first customer walks through that door, everything's ready and set to go.
The first customer is, in fact, already in a corner booth.
Ooh.
Your first customer of the day is a regular, a teenage girl named Romy, always in first thing, meets her on-again, off-again high school date, Jules, here for preschool dates regularly. And so you already have Romy's regular order in, which is a triple shot mocha with extra whipped cream and mozzarella panini.
Mozzarella panini, so early in the day.
And oh. Every day.
Yeah.
Teenagers and their metabolism.
Yeah.
So that Romy's off in sitting in a corner booth already, waiting for her order. The coffee shop is a very cozy, friendly sort of place. There's lots of space. It's always quiet. It's the sort of coffee shop that's perfect for getting away from it all, where maybe romance could blossom, where people can not concentrate too much on their lives outside this place. What's Morgana's favourite feature of the coffee shop?
I think Morgana's favourite is the lighting. It can be, depending on where you're sat, what sort of atmosphere you want to create, the lighting just adapts to that surround. So if you want a nice sort of intimate moment, it's not going to be like bright strobes in your face. It's going to be famously not what you want in a romantic atmosphere. Are you about to have a seizure? No, that's not good. So for Romy at the moment, it's just sort of warm, comforting to go along with the mocha and the panini.
Very nice. The one thing that's not relaxing about the coffee shop right now is waiting by the kitchen serving hatch, a bag of nerves, tapping one foot rapidly in a machine gun rattle against the floor, is one of the servers, Robert Wyatt, who is a white rabbit with a cyberpunk tech visor across his eyes, and an Apple Watch, which he keeps checking, and he's standing there outside the kitchen serving hatch going, "We're late! I'm late for a very important plate."
Like, we need boo cards.
So as Morgana finishes pulling this triple shot mocha with extra whipped cream, who arrives next for their shift at the coffee shop?
Ooh, assuming we're not there already. Mm-hmm. Does that imply one of us is late? It's probably me.
It probably is. Yeah.
Does that mean you're there already then?
Yeah, I think Tom lives there.
Yeah.
In a pie tin.
Great, okay.
It's caused problems in the past.
We'll get to Tom in a second in that case. So Jemima Puddle Duck arrives, and as she opens the door to the coffee shop, the bell above the door goes, "Hey, you!" And it's kind of it's not an aggressive, like, "Hey, you!" It's like a friendly kind of, "Hey, you, what's up?" kind of thing. And what I would love from our audience is every time somebody comes into the coffee shop, and also potentially every time anybody comes into this room, if anybody comes out, I would love to get a friendly "Hey, you!" Can we practice that as Jemima's arriving at the coffee shop? On three, one, two, three.
"Hey, you!"
Beautiful. Loving it. So we hear that sound. The door opens. Jemima Puddle Duck arrives at the coffee shop. Can you describe
your character? She will waddle in. She is a duck. I know we're in a modern setting, but you know. But also,
ducks are modern.
Ducks are very modern.
Ducks are very relevant. Always, yeah. In fact.
Always. They exist.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
You're really painting us a picture.
Yeah. They're not a conspiracy theory. Do you know what I mean? Fake
there,
ducks.
There will be conspiracies about ducks out there, I'm sure. No, she is a real duck. Cottagecore is a modern fashion, so she is, Matt was like, oh, she can be updated, she could wear, no, she is wearing the blue bonnet and the pink cape as of the books, because cottagecore is a modern style. So she will come in quite flustered, oh, sorry, traffic was terrible, we'll bustle over to Robert, I'm sorry, I'm here now.
Oh, we're going to be late, we're late, already we're late.
Okay, well, have you got the plate?
No, it's late.
Oh, well, that's not my fault then.
Through the serving hatch in the kitchen, the kitchen staff, Tom Thumb is our dishwasher, and also in the kitchen with you is a one-legged man who runs the panini maker.
Tom Thumb is no larger than his farmer father's thumb. Please try and say that. He is currently wearing some very fancy boots, a girdle, a very fancy hat, and a ring that he keeps twiddling on his finger, and is currently in a tiny boat made out of a folded up menu, sort of rowing around in a huge sink with his sword that he has attached a tiny little scourer to, just cleaning things frantically.
Yes, and you know, there's been no business yet in the coffee shop this morning, so you're still sort of doing yesterday's.
Oh no, this is last week's.
Oh, like, no!
We have a lot of cutlery and crockery.
Tom!
I'm very tiny!
I have some questions.
Yes.
What you said, it's a very fancy hat.
Oh, it's a very fancy.
How fancy?
Oh, my friend.
Not describe the hat, just tell us on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, 10?
Right.
I mean, this is the
fancy. Oh, no, I wanted a description of the hat as well, but I like the fact we've now got it ranked 10 on the level of fancy. I hadn't thought that there was a sliding scale of fancy. Yeah. Fancy scale.
This is fancy.
Fancy.
This is leaning into our rivalry, because my bonnet's probably a 7.5 at best.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I think, unbeknownst to Tom, it has a bit of eiderdown, like a little duck feather in it, and he hasn't realised.
Yeah. How did you come across that?
Well, you gave it to me.
Whoa.
So
that's awkward.
You gave me the hat, yep, and the girdle and the ring. Just whenever I get in trouble, I get a little gift to help me not be in trouble anymore.
I'm just trying to keep you safe.
I really appreciate it.
You're
welcome. I have to keep this up for an hour and a half.
Tom, as you're rowing about the sink in your little boat doing your scouring,
yes,
you can smell the smell of toasting bread, as it seems like the panini in the panini maker might have been left in a little bit too long.
Oh no! I'm giving you cricket! Pinocchio's out of copyright as well, that's fine. Right, no.
Jiminy Cricket is a Disney character.
Oh,
though,
no!
So
I'm sorry!
Mute it!
I better get there quick. To get around the kitchen, I have set up several spatulas on fulcrums with large weights above them that I can cut with my sword. So I will jump onto the flat of one of the spatulas, cut my sword, and launch myself in the general direction of the toaster.
And you can see your colleague, John, who also works in the kitchen, is right there by the panini maker and just seems to just not be paying attention.
John! I'm coming! I'll save the day!
Would you like to make a link with John?
Oh, I would.
This is a feature of the game Interstitial. Whenever you meet a character or interact with them in a significant way for the first time, you can roll to make a link with them, and links are a resource you can spend, and they also function as stats for some of our moves. So, what link would you like to try to make with John, the panini maker man?
I would like to start making a light link. That's friendly, things in common, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
That means you like him.
I do. I like everybody. Everybody is my friend.
Great. Okay. So, what is your light stat?
Plus one.
Is that your highest stat?
Yes, it is.
In which case, you get
jointly. I don't know if that matters.
That's fine.
Okay.
You get an extra plus one on this.
Ooh.
So you're going to roll 2 six-sided dice and add 2.
Lovely. Okay, here we go. Oh. Well, that's a four. So...
first roll of the game.
That's a six in total, which I'm sure is a success.
So, Strat, you have an option here where either you can let that six stand, a six is a fail... in this game.
Lovely.
You can let that stand, which would mean that you get a link, but it's not the one that you wanted, and I also get to make something happen in the story that might not be great for you.
Okay.
Or you can spend a link to re-roll the lowest of those dice.
Let's just fail. That sounds more fun.
You're flying through the air. It could possibly go wrong. Towards a toaster.
Do I have to try and make that link and explain how I was trying to do it?
No, it's just whenever you interact with a person for the first time. So you're heading towards him effectively, and this is going to tie into the link I'm going to give you.
Yep.
Effectively trying to do his job for him.
That's true.
So I'm going to give you a dark link with John.
Oh no.
Which represents rivalry. As you're attempting to effectively do his job as on top of doing yours.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely looks like you think that he's not doing a good job here. And he notices that. He's sort of suddenly paying more attention than he was to the panini maker that is still toasting. You can start to see black smoke rising from the panini maker with faster reflexes than you'd think from how little attention he was playing. He catches you.
Ooh.
And says... stay in your lane, Tom Thumb.
Put me down and it's fine. Hey, John, have I ever told you about the time I was eaten by a fish? You're a seafaring man. Have I ever told you the time I was eaten by a fish? It was gutted. Saddle in, everybody. I've written down 2 pages of these.
Oh no.
Go looking for more then, says John, and flings you back towards the sink. And now, roused by your attempt to do his job for him, John does finally open the panini maker, take it to the serving hatch, and those of you outside in the customer side of the coffee shop hear the ping of the plate ready bell.
I will be there. I know Robert Wyatt's been waiting a long time, but Jemima will just kind of give a flick of her wings, like, don't worry, babes, I've got this. Like, she doesn't have hands. So it is picked up by the bill, and I suppose, yeah, waddled over.
Are you going to attempt to take the mocha as well as the panini?
I mean, she's already picked the plate up, so it's going to have to be a turn to Robert. And oh, do you want to stick the coffee on my back? I've got this, I promise.
You promise?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Trust me, I can do this. I know I can do this.
Robert takes the mocha from Morgana at the bar, and where are you directing him to put it? On your back?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're sort of like low like, you know, neck swooping down.
Yeah, not the bit that wiggles.
Okay.
Look, she's a duck, she waddles, okay? But the solid back.
Okay, great, okay. Yeah, you've done this before. You're a competent server. You've worked here for a little while. You're able to take the panini and the mocha over to Romy in the booth. And you can see that Romy is also checking a watch and looking out of the window and sighing wistfully. As you deliver her order.
She stood you up again, babes.
Oh, it's looking like it. It's so... We're always missing messages and just getting... Maybe I'm supposed to meet her somewhere else, or maybe it was a different time. But, like, school starts in half an hour, so... I don't know.
Maybe she just slept in.
Would you like to try and make a link with Romy?
Sure. Yeah, all right. Do I have to decide which link?
You have to decide which link you'd like. You're not guaranteed to get that one. As we've seen.
Well, you know, I think a customer got to try for a light link.
Great.
Okay. I have plus one.
You have plus
to
one.
That.
Is that your highest stat?
No.
So you don't get the extra bonus, so it's your two dice plus one.
That is a six total. Going so well.
Yeah.
So instead of a generally friendly sort of light link, Romy seizes on the fact that you seem to be giving, trying to give her advice.
Right.
And Romy sees you as a kind of a master in this situation and wants to learn your wisdom.
I have so much wisdom to give.
And so I'd like you to make a mastery link with Romy instead of the light link that you wanted.
Your foul, foul wisdom.
Oh. How dare you!
Cross off on the puzzle.
I got the first boom. Amazing.
And so you're tied up at this table as more customers arrive by Romy sort of trying to have this, like, you know, like people sometimes have with their server in a service situation where they're sort of treating you as a friend and a confidant.
Yeah.
You're effectively having to fulfil, like, the bartender in the, like, cleaning glasses in the bar while people pour out their relationship problems. And so she's telling you all of the times that they've had missed connections and all of the times that they broke up and got back together.
Sounds terrible.
And we're probably... It's going to get even worse because this place has been... like, really stable for us, and...
It's,
like,
not it's been a stable, it's a cafe, my love.
She looks
that
like
doesn't
about
get
to,
a boon!
She looks like she's about to counter that, but then, like, with this respect for you as a mentor figure, she takes it on board. Cafe, not a stable, okay.
It's all right, but, love. Like, I will take her under my wing, literally.
Great. This is the place where we've had the most actually successful meetups, but we might have to find somewhere new soon because the last couple of times we've been in, like, have you noticed, like, the vibe in here is just, it's not what it used to be, it's changing. Yeah, you know, with that, like, the new crowd that's discovered this place lately.
Well, you know, some customers are more unruly than others, but you will always be one of our favourites, my dear. So there will always be this special booth here just for you.
That's great, but, you know, if we can't have, like, a quiet, romantic heart-to-heart, or if, like, it's
right.
If it's so busy that we miss each other, even if we're both here, that could happen.
No, this is a problem now, Romy. How do you usually communicate with Jules?
Like, we leave notes in each other's lockers and stuff.
I feel
like
you need some more efficiency. You know, I've heard of these things, like, Morgana might be able to tell you more about them. She does magic, but there's, like, a little black box, right, that you can send a text massage, right?
Yeah, we're not allowed them at school, though.
Right, well, we need to sort this out. Who do I speak to?
I mean...
Because we can't have you leaving now.
I guess the head, or maybe Councillor Lawrence.
Okay.
At the school.
Right.
Or our parents, I guess.
Well, let's go speak to them.
But aren't you working?
Well, this is very important. This is clearly much more important. If our best customer, you are here every day. If you stop, I know we've got other customers, but you know, that's a regular income. I feel this is quite important, actually.
Oh, I'm your best customer.
Oh, well, don't let it get to your head.
As you're starting to talk about potentially leaving, you sort of glance towards the door of the coffee shop, which opens.
Hey, you!
And a tall, looming figure in black wearing a top hat enters. It's the owner of the coffee shop, Benny Scrooge. Enters the coffee shop.
Assumptions based on looks, honestly.
Shakes snow off the brim of his top hat, sweeps off his half cloak, and says, "Is everybody looking forward to Christmas?"
Hey! Morning, Bernie. How's it going?
Wonderful. It's like Christmas Day every day in my life lately.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I just came in to let you all know that you're all getting the whole week of Christmas off.
Oh, that's nice.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Oh,
that's really kind of you.
Would anybody like to make a link with Benny Scrooge?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. What kind of link would you like?
Probably light, which is my weakest, unfortunately. But,
that's,
you know,
fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, roll plus your light stat.
Which is minus one. That is 6 again.
Wow.
Such rolls what? This morning.
Are these dice loaded to be shit?
All of them.
Every single last one of them.
These are real first shift of the day dice.
Yeah.
They've not had their coffee.
Clearly.
So Morgana, instead of a generally friendly light link, everybody's going for generally friendly and not getting it this morning. I think instead you see something in Scrooge that you think you could learn from.
Oh.
You see something maybe of yourself in there.
Okay.
He is a man who was once incredibly dour and miserly and through a series of events has become the life and soul of the party and a very cheery person. You're still quite goth.
Mm.
You cultivate a kind of a dour kind of atmosphere.
Okay.
And you see something in that change that came over Scrooge that you think maybe that you could learn something from. So I'd like you to make a heart link with Scrooge.
Okay. That is I've noted that down.
Following Scrooge in is a trio of customers. But the door only goes off once because they all come in at once.
Hey you!
You
definitely not getting old.
Yeah, they're starting to wane.
You see entering the coffee shop two young women and a young man weighed down by electronic equipment. He's got a big backpack. He's got a boom arm with a mic on it sticking out, cables spilling out of the backpack. And one young woman who looks sort of, despite the earliness of the hour, made up like she's planning to be on TikTok and Instagram anytime soon. And another who is a little more Morgana's sort of look. Slightly sort of more subdued makeup look. These are they haven't been in a huge amount, but you're sort of aware of them. This is Jane, Emma and Tommy, who run a ghost podcast. And Jane taps Scrooge on the shoulder and says, "Mr. Scrooge, I'm glad we caught you. We were hoping to talk to you about your experiences." And Tommy, with all of the equipment in the backpack, sort of looks around, sees that only Romy is in here, and goes, "This is great. I think we can do the recording in here as long as it stays this quiet." And then the door opens again.
Hey you!
And admits a crowd of 12 to 15 rowdy, mostly men, a couple of women, who immediately take over all empty seats in the coffee shop, including sliding into the booth, past Jemima, into the booth with Romy, pinning her into the window.
Whoa, now. Okay, I am stopping this business. I am in the middle of something, please, sir. Can I strike to subdue?
Yes. Describe.
So, I'm going to get in combat.
Don't fuck with the duck.
Strike to subdue is this game's attack somebody, but you're not actually trying to really hurt them move. So you say this aggressive thing to this person, but what is your actual action that triggers the strike to subdue move?
Oh, a big old wing flap to the face.
Yeah. The wings spread wide.
Yes.
Great, okay. Strike to subdue is a mastery roll, so roll plus mastery, please.
You know what I should be doing here? I should be metagaming it, because I have a special move as the discarded drive form. I can strike with intent and then use the move options from strike to subdue. Mm-hmm. Strike with intent, I actually have bonuses too, because I am dark. But
I think given that, whichever one of them you're going to roll, go with the highest that you could roll.
Then I'm striking with intent, because that's 3 on top of
what I
want.
Does a duck know any other way?
No. Ah. that is an 11 on the dice, plus 2 for a 13.
Incredible. Okay. Deal harm and choose 2 options from either the strike with intent or strike to subdue lists. And while you're picking, so this crowd of people, they're all sort of wearing reasonably smart suits. They look like a sort of city banker sort of type. Very, very sort of neat haircuts. And they have this kind of braying public school voices that are filling the coffee shop. The entire sort of cosy, quiet atmosphere has just been taken over by oh my gotcha, and that day. That when Romy was talking about something killing the vibe, anybody who wasn't sure now gets the feeling this is what she was on about.
I would like to ask you, Matt, about this option, force a change of location. Does that mean for, like, can I just make that person go away?
You could make it a small scale, like get this person out of the booth and into a different bit of the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Or you could bat this person through the window of the coffee shop if you wanted.
Bat to another cause some real chaos. Through the force of my wing flap. Okay, well, she is an excellent hostess. So I think it's just going to be a small scale. I'm going to do the force of change of location to move this person out of the booth, mm-hmm. so Romy is still in the booth by herself, and then I would like to take control of the situation mm-hmm. is my other option.
Fantastic.
All right, no. This seat is already taken. Don't you mind them, Romy. All right, everyone, nice to see you. Welcome, come in. But we are very busy all of a sudden, so please form an orderly queue by the counter.
Can you roll to make a link with this crowd of rowdy customers?
All of them.
Yeah, with them as a group.
Okay. She's an excellent hostess. She's trying for light. 7, 8.
Okay. So, you get a choice here. Mm-hmm. Either you get the link you wanted, but your link move doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Or your link move does happen, but I give you a different link.
So I wanted light.
Yep.
If you give me a different one, that's not too bad. And then my link move is whenever I make a link with a character that has a link of a different type with you, gain one forward on actions against them. Now, my brain.
Yeah.
If I wanted them to be light, does it count as that if you give me a...
I'm giving them a dark link with you right now.
Yeah.
Because they want to do what they want to do and you want to stop them. So they are seeing you as a rival in this moment.
Yes.
Matt?
Yes?
I've got a question.
Yes?
My link move says whenever another character makes a dark link, mark experience and take +1/4 to making a mastery link with them. Now, is that them, you, or them, the group of people?
You can have that +1/4 to make a link with this crowd if you want. Yes.
Okay. I've got +1/4 to making mastery with crowd. Good.
So what option are you picking that?
I want the one that triggers my link move.
Okay, please. So you're not going to get the light link that you wanted.
No.
Nobody's making light links today. But you are getting your link move, which means that Alex's also goes off.
Okay.
So I think you're getting a dark link back with them.
Okay, well, in that case, my link move does not proc. Oh. Oh, well. What are they called?
You can put these in as the suitors.
The suitors.
Not only because they are wearing suits, as you'll see. But as you take control of the situation and tell them to form an orderly queue, they obey to an extent. What happens is the vast majority of them take seats and they send one person up to the counter where Morgana is to order for everybody. Which, you know, helps in terms of crowd control. Morgana, the person who comes up to the counter is not quite of a piece with the rest of this crowd. He's a little younger than the rest of them. He is not quite as smartly dressed, and he is sort of stoop-shouldered. He looks like the sort of the fully laden camel who's just like cringing in anticipation of the final straw.
Right.
And starts to reel off an order for 12 to 15 people.
Morgana's just going to look at him and go, "Hold on one moment. You need to slow down there. I'm going to have to get out a pen and paper so I can remember all of this, because there's quite a bit to remember. So, first and foremost, sorry, what's your name, love?"
It's Terry.
All right, Terry, welcome. And what's the first order?
He starts to reel these off, and as he's slowing down for you, you see that the suit who seems to be the ringleader sort of yells up at Terry from his commanding seat, saying, "Come on, Terry, you're going to have to do faster than that. I expect better, and I am going to be your dad soon, so you better hurry it up." And a couple of the other ones are like, no, Anthony, no, I'm going to be his dad.
I'm going to use magic. Okay. To basically subdue this, because I do not like this one iota. So... What magic is mastery, isn't it?
It is a roll plus mastery, yes.
Cool, okay. So,
tell us what this magic looks like and what you intend it to do.
Morgana is just going to get suddenly slightly larger and taller and more imposing than she normally looks. She's usually just sort of slumped on the counter looking quite sort of lackadaisical, just sort of like taking people in, like just watching people mill around, not putting too much effort in. But she's sort of drawing herself up to her full height and making herself louder and bigger and somewhat more imposing.
Mm. So yeah, Morgana's hair ripples in an unseen way.
Yes.
Hey,
hey you.
Hello.
Well done. Right. Okay, so this is plus one for mastery, and that is a six again.
What is wrong with our dice?
Yeah, what is wrong with... Oh,
Who cursed them?
Yeah.
Would you like to spend a link to improve that?
Yeah, I am going to spend a link. I'm going to spend... What sort of link do I have to spend?
Any one. If you can fictionally work it in so that the link that you're spending... Like, by calling on its power or the memories within it,
okay,
it helps you do magic in this
situation. I'm gonna use the link that I have with Scrooge to see if I can make myself a little bit better. So I'm going to scrub that one out. But I'm going to draw upon, rather than just being imposing and sort of scary looking, for want of a better word, I'm going to appeal to their better nature and try and be a little bit more welcoming, but in a slightly threatening way.
Okay,
so it's a sort of welcome, but don't fuck with me.
This is one of the ways that links are a resource in this game. You can spend links, take them off your sheet in order to re-roll the lowest dice on a roll that you didn't like the look of.
That's a 5 and an 8 plus, so that is a 9. That's a 9 in total.
Ooh. Fantastic. Okay, so your magic works, and pick one option off the use magic list as suddenly the entire coffee shop falls silent.
I'm going to say the magic opens something.
Mm.
And that thing is their hearts and minds.
Oh.
To understanding and reason. God damn it.
Oh no, now the adventure's over.
I've broken the game.
I think you managed, you break through to them, and they realise, in fact, the ringleader who was the first to yell about becoming Terry's dad, goes, guys, calm it down. We want to settle in here, and we want to really have a good time here. So let's not piss off the staff straight away, okay?
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. So very gracious of you.
In a small way, he has begun to understand that you need to respect serving staff.
Hard think, look at the audience.
I think everyone should work in the service industry at one point in their life.
All right, lovies, it's me, Matt, your compere. I hope you've been enjoying part one of Fanfic Mishmash. There will now be a short interval of 1 week, and we'll be back same time next week with the second half. We didn't plan this when we decided to use Interstitial Our Hearts Intertwined for our Dragonmeat live show, and I didn't plan this when I scheduled the recordings of that live show to go out when they're going out, but it just so happens that right now, presuming that you're listening to this the week it comes out, a second edition of Interstitial is being kickstarted. From the sound of it, it's a thorough overhaul of the rules and a completely new rewritten rulebook with new character playbooks, new advice, and brand new art. So if you like the sound of Interstitial from hearing us playing it live, head over to Kickstarter and kick in a few dollars for the second edition. You'll find the link in the program notes for this episode. This coming weekend, again, assuming that you're listening to this the week it comes out, I will be at AirCon in Harrogate. That's air as in the river air, rather than as in air conditioning. It's a board games and tabletop role-playing games convention, and I'm going to be running some sessions of some games there. Two sessions of Spindle Wheel by Sasha Renault on the Friday and the Saturday, and one of The Hunted by Chris Bissett on the Saturday. Last time I checked, we'd had some sign-ups to all three games, enough that they will definitely go ahead, but there are still some spaces open as well, so if you fancy joining, and if you're going to Aircon, again, follow the link in the programme notes to sign up to join me on those tables. Or if you don't fancy playing those games, just look out for me. I'll be roaming around the convention the rest of the time that I'm not running games. Finally, the two-part game of Heart, the City Beneath, that I ran for Actual Play UK, is all done and dusted now. Both parts have happened. They've streamed. Part one is out on YouTube to watch on demand, and part two is out on Actual Play UK's Twitch at twitch.tv/actualplayuk. Thanks to everybody who joined us live for the stream. I enjoyed hanging out with everybody in chat for part two. And if you missed it, you can catch up on video on demand right now. And I'll be back to let you know when part two goes up on YouTube if you'd rather watch it there. That's about it until next week. Stay tuned now for the credits, and I'll talk to you again then. This has been Fanfic Mishmash, a live production from Merely Roleplayers, starring Alexander Pankhurst as Morgana Le Fay, Natalie Winter as Jemima Puddleduck, and Strat as Tom Thumb. I'm Matt Boothman, and I play the supporting cast. Fanfic Mishmash was commissioned by Mira Manga and Fiona Howitt for the Dragon Meat Podcast Zone 2023, and recorded by Christian Mitchell Dolby. I edited and produced this episode, and the theme music is In the Dark Flashes by Bix Baderbeck, performed by Jess Stacey and provided by the Open Music Archive. We were playing Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined, a role-playing game by Riley Hopkins of Linksmith Games. Merely Roleplayers is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on!